Advent season, and we're talking today about a man by the name of Joseph. The characters of Christmas, and we all know these characters. We see them every year, but today we're going to talk about this man by the name of Joseph and trying to get an understanding of who he is, as well as how his story intersects our story. So if you would, watch this clip about Joseph.
It was the scariest, most difficult, confusing, exciting, most wonderful day of my life. I mean, when you realize that God is allowing you to be a father, I don't know what to compare that to, you know. And then, on top of that, when it seems that he's deemed you fit to be the stepfather to his son, that's overwhelming. He's perfectly healthy, happy baby boy that came into the world, I guess, just like most every other kid, you know. I get why they call it labor. I mean, since I was 12, I've worked every day of my life, but I've never worked as hard as Mary worked that night. She was amazing. And then not just that night, I mean, through all of it, through the months of people talking about us behind our back, and the week-long journey to Bethlehem. And then we get there, and she takes an ordinary feeding trough and turns it into a cradle. And none of it seemed to faze her. She's amazing. You know what, through all of it, I never heard her once ask why. Why? You know, she just did everything God asked her to do. And if she didn't understand why things happened, she knew God was in control. She followed his will. I get it. Man, I get why God chose her. I really do. What I don't understand is why he chose me.
That's quite a question. Why did God choose me? Joseph asked the question. And I think that it's a legitimate question that he asks. Why would God choose a man by the name of Joseph, a man like Joseph? And I think Mary probably asked that same question, maybe in the same way, looking at herself and thinking to herself, so why would God choose me? And I think reality, if we were all honest with ourselves, we would ask the same question and say, so why would God choose me? And so today we're going to take a look at the secondary question, which is not just why did God choose Joseph, but why did God choose me through the lens of Joseph? So we're going to look at Joseph and his story, but we're going to address the second question, which is why would God choose me? Why me? You know, what's so special about you or me that God would say, I want to choose you? So in order to do that, we're going to take a look at the book of Matthew and Joseph's story. So if you have your Bible or you're on your phone or your iPad, whatever you've got there, turn to Matthew 1:18 through 25, and let's read this story about Joseph and the birth of Jesus. Verse 18 says, now this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. Matthew's statement about the birth of Christ. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. And all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. Look, a virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. So let's talk a little bit about this question and this man who we see here. It says in verse 19 that Joseph was engaged to be married to this woman. Okay, so first of all, we have to go out of our 20th century engagement periods and move into a Jewish culture in which engagement was a different type of relationship. So they actually called it betrothal, where they were betrothed, and it was actually a marriage at this point. So they would come together as a husband, as a man and a woman, and their parents were there with them, and the parent of the bride would give her to the parent of the groom, and then they would be betrothed. They would fulfill a contract, and the contract was 1 year, at least 1 year, where they would be considered husband and wife, but they would not live in the same house, and they would not have sexual relations together, but they would be pure for that 1 year span of time, but they would be considered husband and wife during this betrothed time. At the end of that period of time, they would have a great ceremony where the husband would come to the bride's house, and he would pick up the bride, and they would go back to the husband's house, and they would have this great big ceremony, this wedding party. And sometimes that wedding party could last a week long. But it was after this 1 year betrothal. Joseph and Mary were in this betrothal time. Now, if you think about this, in this culture, sexual purity was absolutely essential. They wanted nothing outside of that. And so these two people married were not engaged, not having relationships with one another, other than getting ready for their wedding, their marriage that they were going to have. So the 1 year waiting period is intended to do one thing. You know what it is. Because if there's a baby that comes in that 1 year waiting period, okay, if there's a pregnancy that occurs in that time frame, then somebody has to answer a question, which is, how did that happen? And we all understand how that happens, okay? But at the same time, somebody has to answer the question. And so notice it says that she was engaged, she was betrothed, and it says there that Joseph was a righteous man. Now, we know very little about Joseph. We don't know hardly anything. We see him here. We see him in the first part of Luke. We see him later on in Luke a little bit. We see him talked about in Matthew 13. These are the things we know about Joseph. He was probably between 18 and 25 when he was engaged to be married, someplace in that time frame. We don't know exactly, because we know that Mary was probably 13. Joseph was definitely older than her. We're pretty sure that Joseph was, well, we know Joseph was a carpenter. Matthew 13 talks about that. And now, a carpenter in this culture was not really a very lucrative profession. It was a profession that was needed, but didn't make a lot of money. Okay, they were kind of lower on the social economic totem pole. We also know that in the genealogy that comes in Matthew, that his father's name was Jacob. But if you read through the genealogy, and that's in chapter 1 of Matthew, which we generally skip over, okay? But if you read that, you start at Jacob, and you start backing up, and you find out that Joseph has royal blood in his lines. He comes from the line of David, the king. And if you go back farther than that, we understand that he has a direct line to Abraham, who was the start of the Jewish nation. So he is the great, 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 great grandson of Abraham and of David and of Solomon. Is that right? Yes, he comes out of the line of Solomon. We see that in that particular line, you can read it. It's pretty interesting, but he has royal blood in his lines, but he is all but royal at this point. He's not considered royal. He's a carpenter. He's just a man that works with his hands. You probably can say the same thing. I'm just a man. I just work with my hands. I'm nothing special. That's exactly how Joseph felt. I'm not special. We pretty well think that he understood the scriptures pretty well, because he understood when the angel came and told him that verse in Isaiah about the virgin shall conceive. He understood that as a messianic psalm, as a messianic statement from Isaiah. And so Joseph is a man who has a lot going for him. He just doesn't know it. Now, the interesting thing that we know about Joseph is that he doesn't show up at the end of Christ's life. Okay, so when Jesus is in ministry, we never hear about Joseph. Okay, he's not there. The last time we hear about him is when Jesus was 12 years old. So Jesus started his ministry at 30, and Joseph was there when he was 12, but in between 12 and 30, we don't know what happened to Joseph. We're pretty sure that he died someplace in there. So at the age of 12, when Jesus is becoming a man, that's what's going on there. Jesus becomes a man, he starts to take on the role of a man, and after that, we don't see Joseph in his life, because Joseph was intended to be there to bring Jesus to that maturity, and then to fade into nothingness. No one really knows what happened to Joseph. I suggest that he died prematurely, somewhere between the ages of 30 and 48. Now, if you think with me a little bit about that, think about what that meant to Jesus. That means that Jesus had a death of his adopted father someplace in his life before he started ministry, so he began to understand what it meant as a human to lose another very, very special person in his life. He understood what grief was all about. So when we look at Joseph, this is one of the reasons I think that God chose Joseph. It says here that Joseph was a righteous man. He's righteous. If I called you righteous, that would be a compliment, by the way. Okay, it's a good thing. It means that he was good, that he was fair, that he was just, that he didn't just fly off the handle and make decisions rashly. He was very thoughtful about what he was going to do. In fact, if you read verse 20, it says, as he considered these things that he had to do, okay, he made a decision. He considered them for a long time. He processed all that he had to do. So he was looking at Mary. He understood that Mary somehow had a relationship with someone, because there was a baby in her womb, by her own admission. Now, her admission states that it is the Holy Spirit that impregnated her with this baby. And if you were in Joseph's age, you would say, wow, I've never heard that before. And then he would read the book of Isaiah, and he would say, oh, well, this is possible because God said it would happen. And yet, I am in reality, if someone says that to you today, we say he's crazy. Even though the scripture says this, we would say he's crazy. So he has to weigh these two things, this prophecy and this reality that's in his life. And this is his wife, who now has a baby. Now, if Joseph continues to marry Mary to go through the rest of the betrothal, he, in so many words, is saying, that's my baby. I'm the one who did this. So he takes on her shame at that point. Right now, she is shamed because she's pregnant inside a betrothal. And so if he marries her, goes in with her, he is going to accept her shame and her guilt and all of the effects of people in the community upon them. The other option he has is to say, I'm going to divorce her So it's a legal divorce that's going on here. They are married. And so he has one of two options for divorce. One is he can divorce her publicly. So he can bring a council together in the gates of the city, and he can accuse her of having relationships with somebody else. And if she cannot prove that she didn't, then she would be taken outside the city and she would be stoned by Jewish law. She'd be killed. So that's a public divorce. There is a private divorce in which he just writes her a bill of divorce and sends her away. And if he does that, she will never, ever again marry. She will have the baby, possibly. And they will be separated and they will not be a part of each other's life. She will just go away from his life and he will be free to marry. She will not be free to marry thereafter. So if you consider all those things, you have to see that it says that Joseph was a righteous man. That means he will do what is right no matter what the people around him say is right to do or wrong to do. He was going to do what is right by God. That's what righteous means. And it says there he did not want to expose her publicly. He had in his mind, he was considering to divorce her quietly. And verse 20 says, as he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. As he was considering these things. So he was a righteous man. And it goes on, as we see in this particular verse, it says, as he considered this, as he was mulling this over in his mind, I imagine his sleep in those days was rather limited. And it says that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And every time Joseph in his life receives some kind of information or direction from God, it came to him in a dream. I don't know why that is. We just know that's the case. This angel came to him in a dream, and evidently it was so real that he woke up and he knew something had happened. And so the angel appears to him in a dream. And this is what the angel said to him. Joseph, son of David, there's the royal lineage. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. So what is the first fear that we understand is going on? Joseph is afraid. When was the last time God asked you to do something and you weren't afraid? Because generally God asks you to do things that are outside of our comfort zone, that are doing things that we normally wouldn't necessarily do, that are kind of out there. They're a step of faith. And you have to step without seeing what's below your foot. We too are afraid. So the angel says to him, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, to complete the betrothal period. And he says, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Mary had already told him this. Now the angel says, this is what actually happened. This is what's going on. This baby within Mary is not of human origin. It is of divine origin. And she will have a son. Notice the pronouns here. She will have a son. And you, Joseph. It is the father's role to name the child. He would normally name the child Joseph II or Jacob or one of his ancestor names. That's what he would normally do. Not Jesus. He says, you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's what the name Jesus means. Savior. One who will save from sins. All this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. So the angel's talking. Look, the virgin will conceive and she will give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Joseph had to know, had to have read the prophet Isaiah. It's kind of like us. We ought to have read the Christmas story. In fact, if you haven't read the Christmas story this Christmas, you need to sit down and read it. Read it in Matthew, read it in Luke. Read those stories again to yourself so that you remind yourself of the miracle that happened 2,000 years ago. Now, the other thing that I see here is that Joseph is a responsive man. He's a sensitive, spiritually sensitive man. Okay, he's considering all these things. He has a dream, and he comes to that conclusion, that dream, and it says, when Joseph woke up. So I don't know when he woke up, whether it was 1 o'clock in the morning or it was 6 o'clock in the morning. Whenever he woke up, it says, He did as the angel had commanded. He picks up, and it says he took Mary as his wife. So Joseph goes from his house to Mary's house, where her parents are, and says, I would like to marry and take Mary today. Now, her parents know that she's pregnant. It's a big problem in their home. Okay, things are going on. All the talk is going on in the community. We have been shamed. They have been disgraced as a family because of this. Okay, and so when Joseph comes and says, I want to take Mary as my wife, her parents are just kind of okay. He takes Mary to his home that he is building. It has not yet completed. It's not yet the end of the one-year period. It's an uncompleted home. He takes her to the home, and they become husband and wife. They start to live together. Only notice what it says. He does not have sexual relations with her until after the child is born. That's pretty significant in itself. Thinking about the hormones between a man and a woman who are in love with one another, and they just said, we're going to abstain until the child's born. Probably 6 months. And then it says, and Joseph named him Jesus. He did everything that God asked him to do. He was responsive. He did what God asked him to do. Even though it meant a lot of shame, disrespect from the community. Can you imagine walking around this community? This is not a very big community, by the way. This is not the size of Hampton. This is the size of Chapin, probably. Okay, probably 200 or 300 people in this community. Everybody knows everybody's business. Everybody talks about everybody. Everybody, you know, you can't go to bed at 9 o'clock at night without somebody saying to you the next morning, "Oh yeah, I saw your light went off at 9 o'clock." But did you hear about Mary? Yeah, did you hear what Joseph was going to do? Well, that must mean. Can you believe that? You can feel it, okay? All right? And Joseph did all this because he's a righteous man and he is a responsive man. He's sensitive to God. The next thing we see, and this actually comes out of a different section of Scripture, comes out of the second chapter, is that Jesus was a protector. This is the reason God asked him to adopt his son, that he would be a protector. Now, the book of Matthew is not necessarily in chronological, just right after each other, but Matthew 2 starts to talk about the wise men, about the Magi coming. And we've been having this conversation in our life group. I was talking to them about the occurrences, and oftentimes our nativity sets. What's in the nativity set? Well, we have Mary, who's prominent, and Jesus is prominent. Where is Joseph? He's behind Mary, okay, and he looks like a shepherd. In fact, if you flip Joseph with one of the shepherds and turn him around, you couldn't tell the difference, okay? He's not out in the front, okay? He's in the back. You got some camels, you got some palm trees. I don't know where the palm trees came from because this was probably in a cave, okay? But we make up all this stuff, and added to that, what else do we put in this picture? We put the wise men in the picture, don't we? Three wise men. Although we really don't know if there were three or five. We know there were three gifts, okay? But we were joking that we probably ought to put the wise men on the other side of the room, okay? So when someone comes and says, how come the wise men aren't? Because they haven't arrived yet, okay? They're still coming. In fact, we believe it took between 1.5 and 2 years from the time of Jesus' birth to the time when the wise men actually came and saw Herod and got in this procession with Jesus. And so it's been about 1.5 to 2 years. Jesus is now a toddler at this point, probably saying mama and dada, okay, in Hebrew. And so we see this statement in the book of Matthew, and it says, after the wise men were gone, wise men had come and gone, left their gifts. Everybody is in awe. This is a fantastic night. We're just having a great time. Life is good. Life is really good. In fact, we got an inheritance given to us. Thousands of dollars worth of gifts. What are we going to do with this stuff? Man, we can build a house. We can buy a new car, a new camel. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. That night, the wise men are gone that night. The angel appears to Joseph in a dream. Get up. Flee to Egypt with a child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. I called my son out of Egypt. Can you imagine what it's like to rip your family out of their beds in the middle of the night, throw them on the back of some kind of animal or cart to take them someplace, put whatever presents you've just been given in the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh, which is worth a lot of money, and try to get from where they're at to Egypt, which is not a day's journey. This is a long ways, folks. Without getting robbed. Running away from a king who wants to kill your son. So now, if you're a parent here tonight or today, just think about someone trying to kill your child. You've been warned, somebody's going to take an attempt on his life or their life. What are you going to do? That's what Joseph was there for. Joseph was called by God to be the protector of this child and his mother. That's why God called him. Because he's righteous. He's responsive. He gets up in the middle. The angel says he gets up in the middle of the night. And he moves. He doesn't wait around. He's not asking for a sign. He's not asking for a confirmation. He does it. And he's a protector. This is what God made Joseph. This is what God made him to be. And you wonder now, why does he not occur after age 12? And why does God allow him to die an early death? You know, maybe God made him for this very purpose, this one purpose, to bring Jesus through his early life, to train him to be a godly man, to show him what it is to be responsive, to be a protector, because he was a protector of his mother, wasn't he? Even up until the very last time when he hung on the cross, he said, Mom, John is now your son. And John, this is your mom. Would you take care of her for me? And he died. Joseph was all those things. And maybe God made him for that very purpose. And when his job was done, his time on earth was over. He didn't need him anymore. Because God makes us for a purpose. So the question that we're asking here is, why did God choose me? Well, I think that we can gather from this story that God chooses each one of us for a job or multiple jobs that we will do throughout of our lives. There's a reason for our life, for who we are. None of us were set here on this earth just to make money and to gather it in and to be who we are, just to kind of enjoy. Now, it's about enjoying life, because I think they enjoyed life, okay? But they also had purpose for what they were doing. So if you would, take your Bibles, and this is not on the screen, to Ephesians, the second chapter, and the 10th verse. And I want to read this for you, because this is really the statement about us. Why did God choose us? And in verse 10 it says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He, that is God, planned for us to do long ago." God planned for you and me to do what He wants us to do before we were ever born. He planned it. And he is in the process of moving us down that path. The question is, and always is, will you be responsive to what God has asked you to do? Now, understand this, that what God has planned for you to do is not outside of the things he's already skilled you to do. This is who he has made you to be, okay? Joseph wasn't a different man when he was called to do what to be with Mary. He was the same guy. He was a carpenter. He evidently was spiritually responsive, and he was righteous. He had already decided to do what was right in life. And then God just added to that, and he says, I want you to take care of my son. Okay, well, how do I do this? Well, you're responsive, so listen to the angel when he talks to you. So when God asks us to do things, it's not outside of our scope of who we are. It is outside of our comfort zone, but it's not outside of the scope of who we are. God created us, your personality, your experiences, the things that you love to do, the things that you don't love to do, all those things are a part of who you are. In fact, all the experiences of your life, all of the good things and the bad things, and especially, may I say, the bad things, are often what train us to do what we're supposed to be doing. And so God is asking us to do something. So whether you're an adult who is retired from your career, there is no retirement in God's work. He may still have a work for you. If you're alive, God still has something for you to do. All right? Secondly, if you're a student, you're a teenager, or you're younger than a teenager, God has something for you to do. And all you need to do is start listening. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? It was interesting because when I was a teacher, that was one of the first things I said to the Lord. I said, I'll teach for 5 years, no big deal. But if you would, in this 5-year period, would you tell me what you want me to do with my life? I'll keep teaching. I don't care. I just want to do what you want me to do. And in that 5-year period, he demonstrated to me what he wanted me to do. So ask him what he wants you to do, teenagers. He's not trying to hold out on you. He wants you to know. Okay, because he has prepared beforehand these things for you to do. If you're an adult or you're a parent, remember, God is working in your life in the same way. He is choosing you to do something. There are people in your life that only you can touch. There are only people in your life that only you can protect. There are people in your life that only you can have an influence on. You see, that's why God chose Joseph. He chose him because he was righteous. He did what was right, no matter what everybody else thought. He was responsive, sensitive to God and what he said, sensitive to the word of God and what he said. And he, by his probably nature, was a protector. That's part of being a male. But it doesn't mean that it's not for females also. We can be protectors. That was what Joseph was given. Sometimes what we're given is going to be different than Joseph's. But we can learn from Joseph. And we can be responsive. And we can say, Lord, whatever you've asked me to do, that I will do. Father God, we need to be responsive to you related to what you've asked us to do. And Father, sometimes I think it's just a matter of doing the right thing today and waiting for you to speak through your word or through some other means, maybe through another person, maybe through our parents, maybe through a grandparent. Father, we need you to confirm that we're on the right path. And Lord, I pray that we would be responsive to you, we would be righteous before you, and we would take on the task, the job that you've asked us to do, and we'd do it until you tell us you're done. Father, until we're released from the work you've given us to do, we need to stay at it. Lord, there are a lot of things that need to be done in this kingdom. And I pray, Father, that you would take us and you would move us back into roles that you've called us to do, that we would do the good work that you have planned beforehand many, 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 many years ago. You decided that you would call us, and you chose our work, and you saw how you would prepare us for it. May we do that until we see you face to face, Lord. Whether you come to get us or we see you in death on the other side of the curtain. Lord, thank you for the example of Joseph. May we learn from him. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.